And the satellite's in place as we go to LA live to join the great Jim Jefferies, friend of the show. How are you, Jim? You're home, LA.
Hello, lads. Thanks for having me. I'm home. I just got home. I was just on tour. I just did a gig in Iceland.
How did that go?
Well, it's a country of 300,000 people, so the people who stay there are kind of weird. Like, imagine if Dubbo was a country. You know what I mean? Like, it's the people there are very odd, and there's the sun doesn't go down in summer, and then the sun doesn't come up for like 6 months in winter. So it was just like the sun coming through, and they didn't have blackout curtains. And I went down to reception. I was like, "There's no blackout curtains." And they were like, "Yes, we have heard this complaint before." And then the guy made a joke. He goes, "Here in Iceland, if you want it to be dark, we have this trick. Shut your eyes." Piss off, you idiot.
I like it a lot. So Iceland, it's the type of country, you know, some countries have strong suits. Like when you think of Miss Universe, you think of Venezuela. Or if you think of long distance running, you think of Kenya. I think of Iceland. And I think of Eurovision Song Contest. They're the type of country that could come from way back to win that thing.
Well, you're thinking of the movie Eurovision with Will Smith that was based in Iceland, which was almost a documentary. but I was meant to perform in Tel Aviv, and they cancelled the gigs in Israel because of acts of war. And they said, how about, like, the government cancelled it. They said I couldn't come in because of acts of war. And they said, how about we reschedule it for 10 days' time? And I was like, "You reckon you'll have that Palestine thing figured out by then? You reckon you'll be all good in 10 days? You're like, you're close, are you?"
So in 20 countries with 22 shows, like which ones are the most receptive to your type of humor? Which ones do you go, can't wait to get back there?
About once a year, I do a show in Amsterdam or Rotterdam. Like, the Dutch are very good. Like, their English is very good. The Germans are remarkable. I've got about a 15-minute routine on Hitler right now, and they were lapping it up. You think they would have gone the other way?
Because they don't have a strong history in comedy, do they? There's no real culture of stand-up or sketch comedy coming from the Germans, is there?
No. They're a serious bunch. But I'll tell you where you can't perform. The French don't want English speaking comedy. What? They don't want us to even come. Every other country like welcomes you, and the French is like, "We don't want to hear you with your English language and all that." Like, I know Eddie Izzard went over there and performed in French, but they have no want for English speaking comedy. They want to watch mimes and people on a unicycle with a top hat or some shit.
Their sense of humour, if you've ever seen a Jacques Tati film, it misses the mark for me. Or, as you say, they don't want to hear it in any language. A mime is what they consider to be hilarious.
The height of entertainment. That's a big thing.
I don't get it. Well, speaking of the heights of entertainment, congratulations on the 1% Club with Jim Jefferies, which has gone bonkers on the 7 Network. So much so it's been moved to Monday primetime at 7:30. It's a ratings smash. I've been enjoying it. I enjoyed getting a mention in one episode. Do you remember that? You gave me a bit of a shout-out.
Did I mention you?
Yes, you did. One of the questions was the answer was about someone with the same initials as first name or last name. And then you were talking about comedians, and you mentioned Jim Jefferies. And then you went, or could it be Mick Molloy? And I was sitting at home with my two boys, who are 10 years old. They're falling off the couch. They thought it was some kind of magic.
That's right. It was a question about alliterated names. That's the only reason you got to mention alliterated
names. I know. But my favourite episode, and it's so good, and I've got to say, I bite on it. I just sit there and try and work out. Oh, I'm usually knocked out at about the 60% mark, let's be honest. I'm not a giant in that department.
I get knocked out at about the 30% mark, and I know the answers. I'm serious. Towards the end of the show, I sort of forget. I go, "What was the answer to that?" And then I'm always trying to figure out the questions as well. And sometimes I'll read out an answer and I still don't get it. I'm still like, I don't really know what's going on. Early on in the show, I asked if my dad could be on an episode. And they said, no, it's a conflict of interest. Your dad can't be on the episode. And I said, I tell you what, if my dad wins, I'll pay the money out of my own cash. I'm that confident that this bloke won't get past two or three questions. And my dad rang me up today and I go, "How are you going, Dad?" He goes, "I just watched the episode." He goes, "I got one right this week. Pretty good for me. One right." Like, it's like,
He's proud. Well, I watched one the other night, and it made me laugh because you kind of snookered yourself, because you had one where there were about 10 people still in it for the last question, and then they all went out and at the same time. So you had the unenviable task of still trying to put a positive on it. Like, normally someone sneaks through, but there was, you go, there's 10 people here. Someone's going to get through. The whole lot of them gone. And you're going, oh, well, you can't all be. she tried to end the episode on a high after everyone had been shown the door, which I thought was that a testimony to you.
That episode took the longest to record because they'd only ever thought that five people could get to the end. So there's a setup for five people to stand on the stage with all the stands and all that type of stuff. Yes. And they never foresaw that 10 people could get through. And there was a whole committee meeting afterwards, like, do we have them all stand on the stage and then the end, just leave them in their seats in the front row.
So no, I liked it a lot.
Just like no one foresaw the show you're taking over on Monday, the balloon show, that was going to be a hit.
Oh, yeah, wow. That's what happened. Channel 7 had a show about balloons, and they can't figure out why it didn't work out. I don't know either. But, so I'm replacing the balloon slot.
Yeah, the balloon animal, I think, is... I think they should have persevered with it, you know. Once you've done the poodle and the giraffe, you're kind of done, aren't you?
I tell you what, when my 10-year-old was, when he was like 2 and 3 and all that type of stuff, there was this guy who was a balloon artist who I used to get to come over to the house for birthday parties. And he'd go like this. And I said, I saw a guy at Universal Studios who was doing balloons. And he goes, do you have blonde hair, like a mohawk type of thing? And I go, yeah. And he goes, yeah, I've twisted with him before. That's one of the terms that they use. He goes, yeah, I've twisted with him before. But then this guy, all the Hollywood mums were coming over, and he was working his magic. He was balloon twisting. Here's another flower for you, my love. And all that time, he was giving them all flower roses.
No, I'd like to see a Chinese spy balloon that was a balloon animal. Wouldn't that be great? A giant dog floating over American airspace.
This is the thing, is I've never worked in the spy business, but I've always been led to believe that you get in there as covertly as possible, you get the information, then you piss off without anyone noticing. Yes. I'm not worried about China anymore because China's using balloon technology. They've decided to use the slowest moving, largest vehicle ever made to take spy photos to hang That's over right. America for about 4 or 5. I watched a lot of spy movies in my day. I've never seen James Bond get into a wicker basket.
It's been like the French using the guy from the Yoplait balloon. Oh, look out. Here he comes. Where's the fun in that? Hey, I was watching you on Instagram. I follow you on Instagram, of course, and you've just posted a very homoerotic shot of you with about 10 mates topless in some kind of fjord. Was that Iceland?
Where was that? All you get to do in Iceland is there's hot springs that you can stand in, and it's all warm. And they're very excited. So we went to this one place. It was hot springs. And so that's me and all the promoters and the other comics and all that type of stuff. Good-looking bunch. And so we've all gone down to the hot spring, and it's meant to be relaxing. There's 7 steps you have to do. So the first thing is you get in the hot tub area, the hot spring. Then you have to do a cold plunge, which is agony, right?
Oh, yeah.
And then you've got to get out of that, get into a sauna. Then you've got to get out of that and rub salt into your body. Then you've got to get out of that and get into a steam room. Then you've got to have a shower. And then you've got to get back into the hot. And you're meant to do that 2 times. Not very relaxing. It's like, I'll tell you what, that Wim Hof or Will Hof or whatever his name is.
He's got a lot to answer for.
Yeah, he can live as long as he bloody wants, mate. I'd rather be warm and live a shorter life than being cold. Hey, I want to speak out about a tragedy that happened today. I don't know if this is coming out today, but Tina Turner. I'd like to put my best foot forward, and I'd like to throw me hat in the ring to sing Simply the Best for the NRL, just as a dedication for her. If they need a new ad campaign. Mark, did you ever get to hold her or anything? Because there's always adverts with...
I spoke about it yesterday, Jimmy, that I was in the 89 advert, and then I got to meet her in 93 when she sang at the Winfield Cup Grand Final.
I was a big fan.
It was a sad news to wake up to yesterday morning. You're back in LA. What are you doing there? Are you good to be home? Are you just hanging around the house, or are you?
I'm hanging around the house for a little bit, and then I'm going to go off. I've got a holiday. I'm going to Hawaii for a couple of weeks with the family. But before that, I just went to my kid's school concert. That's always fun.
So okay. He plays. Has he got an instrument or
a trumpet? Yeah, trumpet. It's either that or bloody drums. You got to make your choice in life.
Does the trumpet? Has he got the Louis Armstrong cheeks? Does he get that, you know, the puff out when he's knocking out
he's
a tune?
Not, he's, I don't think he's that good yet to be the puffy cheeks, but he's giving it a go. We saw they had choirs there and all that type of stuff. All the celebrity parents were there, and you think the concert would be a bit better, to be honest with you.
with all that entertaining pedigree in the house,
you think something would come up.
Hey, and you mentioned you're off to Hawaii. I love Hawaii because in Hawaii, I'm a medium to small.
Yes.
It's one of the, because everyone else, I'm like a supermodel in Hawaii. It's just the scale of that place is so good that someone of my carriage is all of a sudden very lithe, slim, and athletic.
You are.
My favourite moment was watching the 6 o'clock news, their primetime news, and the newsreader was wearing a Hawaiian shirt. Yeah, like, and that's when I went, this place is for me. This is the right.
Oh, no. The Hawaiian shirts, they're no messing around. People just, that's what you wear to weddings.
That's it.
That's what you wear to funerals. That's what you wear to the work. Everybody wears, politicians wear them in parliament and stuff there.
In an open casket. You're wearing an Hawaiian shirt.
I have a mate who lives out in Hawaii, and he's off that TV show, Magnum. He's off that series of Magnum. He's off that. He's an actor from LA, and he moved out there, and he's been out there for like 5 seasons. And he reckons he hasn't put shoes on in years.
Yeah.
Like, he's just wearing thongs all the time. Like, it's such a good life out there. I'd love to live out there.
I was thinking about this the other day, and I don't know how it came up, but I thought if you could choose your own way of dying, how would you like to die? And I was thinking about Elvis on the dunny and all that. Yeah, but in the end, what I settled on was being hit on the head by a coconut. Because it basically means that you're in a great place in the world. You're probably on a hammock. You're underneath a palm tree. I mean, you wouldn't see it coming. Can anyone top getting hit on the head with a coconut as a way to go? I doubt it.
Yeah, but do you reckon it would be blunt force, like bang dead, or you reckon you'd be in a bit of a state in hospital for months and months from your coconut related injury,
with a bit of a twitch in the coconut ward?
Over in the coconut ward.
They go, we should probably put a roof on this.
Mate, the coconut. More people die from being hit on there with they're just coming from about 40 feet. But a coconut will take you out from 40 feet.
I understand how. Do you know why there's palm trees in LA? This is a little bit of an LA fun fact.
Yeah.
There weren't any palm trees in LA until the Olympics, and they did it to spruce the place up. And every Olympics they've had here since, they put more palm trees in.
Wow. So there you go.
But there's no. I got one in my backyard. There's no coconuts in them.
No.
They're coconut free.
They're cocos.
That should be a question on the 1% Club. Mate, thank you. We've covered a bit of ground today. Great to have you back on the program. We've missed you.
Yes, we have.
But we've been watching you on Channel 7 and the 1% Club. It's a great show. Well done. Thanks for and enjoy LA. I'll be over there shortly. I might come and throw stones at your window.
When are you going to be here?
I think it's the last week in June. Last week in June.
You know what I'll do? So I'll throw a coconut at you in a car park.